If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the infirmary of the CU podcast. It is Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. That's Ian Ferguson looking as bad as I did a week ago.
Yeah, I'm not great.
But I'm not that much better. I'm like 10% better. How's everyone doing? Is everyone sick? Like, has everyone been sick this year?
I feel like everyone's been sick since the first.
I knew five people that were sick
Bobby
at one
time.
Bobby
was sick. Lincoln is sick. I'm sick. You're sick.
I didn't give it to you, though.
No, probably not.
I don't know where mine came from either, by the way. Because my friend I was hanging out with, she had been sick, but she was getting over, almost done. I don't think she was contagious. And then I was sick before I hung out with her. So it's bizarre. I think this is the end times. I think we're dead. I think we're doomed. Everyone's going to have a cold, and productivity is going to go down. And, you know, the next thing you know, there's no bread anymore.
No bread.
We go to the store. Everyone makes bread and sick, and we're all dead.
No bread.
No bread. No rice in the patties. We'll be talking about Alien Blackout mobile backlash. Bungie and Activision go through a bad breakup. SNES games coming to Switch online. Metal Storm getting a re-release from Retrobit / Limited Run. Limited. And it's sick, too. Cloud gaming services up the wazoo. Your Q&A. Ian, so what have you been doing since the New Year's? Now, this is the third week in a row we're doing the podcast. This actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's more focused. Yeah. You know, no more complaints about our topics being 8 weeks late or whatever people say. This happened last year. Literally, could have.
I watched RoboCop for the first time.
You didn't see RoboCop before?
No.
I think I saw that when I was like 8, and that was probably not the best idea to see.
Yeah, Vonnie said that she saw it when she was like 9.
My dad was selfish, and he would just rent like Lethal Weapon and movies that he wanted to see in Total Recall.
Right.
Probably not the best to have your young impressionable child watch this hyper-violent stuff, especially stuff like Total Recall and RoboCop. Same director.
Yeah, Verhoeven. We watched the director's cut, which is like 3 or 4 more minutes. It's all fucking blood.
It's just all over the top blood.
When Murphy,
Kool-Aid blood.
When Murphy dies, it's like...
And that was violent to begin with.
It's protracted. It's long in the...
How much longer do you have? Every limb gets shot off?
He gets his hand shot off. Yeah, it's...
By the dad from that 70s
show. Yeah.
Which is funny.
Anyways, I thought it was an incredibly good movie. Like, genuinely pretty damn good. I liked it.
Yeah. It's fun. It's violent, but it's a critique of how future society could become.
Oh, yeah.
And our addiction to violence.
That's very good.
Just like The Running Man. I love The Running Man. No one ever talks about The Running Man, how great that is.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Arnold had a nice run of movies there. They weren't all just like... I don't like Commando, by the way. Everyone loves Commando. That's like my least favorite Arnold movie.
Oh, I loved Commando growing up.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Really? That seemed like the cheapest one out of all of them. It just didn't seem like a good one to me. As a young violence-filled Pat, you know, I watched them all when I was a kid. I watched Red Heat, I watched when he was a Russian, you know, with James Belushi.
Commando's a good road trip movie.
It's a road trip movie?
That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
He goes all over the place.
I haven't seen it in a while.
It's good.
I was more of a Predator sort of a fan myself.
I love Predator.
Predator's probably
the
best Arnold movie ever, if you want to take the Terminator.
I mean, if you just want to talk about, yeah.
It's the most realistic, we'll just say, Arnold movie in terms of like how he is.
Sure.
He doesn't really do that many superhero stuff in it.
He gets his ass kicked.
Yes, he does construct his own like lances and bows and arrows, but you could do that.
It was the 80s. You could do that.
But I mean, it was realistic in terms of how the combat unit was portrayed, combat and everything else. It was a manly man's movie. It was good. Before it became a whole meme, get to the choppa, you know. Anyway, Ian.
Yeah.
New NES Punk video is out. Ian's seeing it. And you know how fickle Ian is when it comes to my me in general, but my creativity.
I did see it. Yeah, it was good.
Check it out. It's Doom. Doom on the Super NES. And it has nothing to do with anything else that's been going on at all the past few months.
No, nothing.
Nothing the past couple months. Nothing.
I'd give it a B++.
B++?
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, Mr. I don't overrate things. So what's an A? That's an A+ to me. And what would be an A Pat the NES Punk video then to compare it to?
You haven't done one yet.
Wow. Not even Track and Field? Come on.
Track and Field is pretty good.
Track and Field is up there.
All right. Track and Field can be the A+.
Or the Haunting with Frank, or the wrestling one with Frank. Come on.
I'll go with Track and Field.
Track and Field. Come on. I can't. That'll never
be. I've always told you that the Track and Field one was good.
I've always told you. It's like, oh, my little child. Okay. We'll be talking about other stuff as well, but shout out to the AGDQ, All Video Games Done Quick.
Yes.
Marathon. They raised $2.5 million.
Yeah,
for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. So kudos to them. I don't keep up. People ask Pat, why don't you talk about this more? I don't keep up with the speed running community. I don't watch it. I'm not saying it's not interesting to you. I just don't know what's going on with it. I have no idea what the community is about. I don't know anyone in the community. So, but that's great that they get together every year and they play games for like a week and they raise a lot of cash. So that's fantastic. We might have an NES marathon date.
We might.
Penciled in. We are looking at right now the weekend, 3.5 weeks from now. That doesn't sound like a lot of time. Maybe I can push back another week, but no. February 9th and 10th, we are looking at the 9th annual, semi-annual NES marathon. We're probably looking at Children's Miracle Network again.
Yep.
And there's always disasters everywhere. There wasn't 1,000 hurricanes this past year.
No.
There was only like one, thankfully, which is still one more than you want, but it wasn't like 8 like the year before, which was weird. To have that many.
Yeah, that was strange.
Climate change alarmists. No. That's happening. Even South Park said, yeah, we kind of fucked up by not knowing about this is going to happen. Anyway. Then you want to talk about Spider-Man Far From Home? You didn't see the Spider-Man Far From Home
trailer.
Okay. I'm a big Spider-Man fan. He's number one on my list. He's 1A. Captain America's 1B on Pat's superhero list.
Wow.
After that, it's... You can pick and choose. You know, it's like, I guess Batman's in my top 7 or 8. You know, Superman. Who doesn't like Superman when he was a guy? I had some Superman comics. But really, Spidey. And then you go to Cap. And then, really, I always liked Iceman. But when I was reading collecting comics in the 80s and 90s, Iceman was geeky and he wasn't in the X-Men. He was like, was he an X-Factor at that point? And he was out. So he never got his
The modern Iceman run is really good.
Is it good?
My buddy Cena in LA does it.
John Cena?
No, different.
But Iceman always seemed quote unquote cool, but he always was. I thought his powers were great, and it sucked to see his powers in the X-Men movies because they weren't there.
Right.
So, I'll make ice cubes for you. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Iceman is one of the coolest characters ever. He has an ice armor on him, and he slides around. And you didn't see that in any movies where he really iced up. He did a little bit in X-Men 3 for a second. And then he slid around a little bit in Days of Future Past. He came back, but he wasn't really
right.
Iceman still, you know, for the most part. And he gets killed. Spoilers, he gets killed really easily. And he's one of the most powerful X-Men. Sorry. What was I saying? Oh, Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. So he's in Europe having fun. Nick Fury shows up to go on a mission. He got Mysterio. He got his Ned, his geeky friend. And you have Zendaya as the new, I guess, Mary Jane, technically. They changed that up, which is fine. And then now Aunt May knows who Peter is. I didn't like that in the first one. But and then you have Happy Hogan come back, who's like now has like a romantic interest, it looks like, in Aunt May. And I just don't like this version of Spider-Man that much. I was okay with it in the first movie. I loved him in Civil War. I fucking loved him in Civil War.
Yeah, it was great.
And then they kind of changed him in the first movie. And then he came a little whiner in Infinity War. Little whiner. A little, oh, Mr. Stark, can I be an Avenger? Whatever you want, Mr. Stark. Enough. Fucking enough with seeking everyone's approval, Peter. Because when you put the mask on, you're supposed to be super confident. That's the point. That's the dichotomy of Peter versus Spider-Man. And I don't know how these Marvel movies aren't getting that strong. It's almost like they need to have a little fucking sidekick, little... boy hero in their universe, but that's not how Spider-Man ever really acted. So it kind of bothers me. I'm sorry. You don't have an affinity to Spider-Man like I do, so it
didn't
bother you as much. But it bothers me. I'm sorry. It bothers me that like Daddy Stark has to chide Spider-Man about things when Spider-Man back in the day, if he got chided by Tony Stark, would have said fuck off and like webbed him up in a second. Like, I'm never, like, here's the thing about Spider-Man. It's a false bravado. That's why he's still geeky Peter, but he feels ultra confident in the suit. So he'll seek your approval until you tell him no. They don't get pissy and fuck off. That's what happened with the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Then they end up fighting each other. That happened early in the Spider-Man comics. Quick history lesson. He would like meet up with heroes. Then he get like rubbed the wrong way because he's a fucking hothead 16-year-old. And then they fight. Like it happened with Giant Man and the Wasp. It happened with Daredevil. I'm talking early on, the first year or two of Spider-Man. But then it would happen with like the X-Men and the Secret Wars. He'd show up and then not knowing what's going on because the X-Men didn't know what side they're on in the Secret Wars. I'm getting really geeky right now, but I love this stuff. And then so, you know, then he fights the X-Men. And you know what? He fucking beats them because he's Spider-Man. And he makes Wolverine look like the fucking chump he is in that fight. I love it. So that's Spider-Man. It's like, yeah, he's fragile on the inside, but you push his buttons, he's strong enough to kick your ass. And I have not seen that yet in these movies. I haven't seen it yet. I know he's still a kid, but when he was a kid in the comics, he saved the day and pretended to be a man. That's the whole shocking thing, is that they didn't know he was a man when he was a kid. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting really geeky right now with this stuff. I'm sorry. It's like 80% of Spider-Man in these movies. The Spider-Man in Into the Spider-Verse that you see in the first 15 minutes, that is Spider-Man. Even though he's an older man, he's like 25 there or 26, but that's Spider-Man's personality. And I haven't seen that yet in any of these movies. No, McGuire, who was okay, not with Tom Holland, and definitely not with Andrew Garfield, who just acted like a fucking dick in those two movies. Wasn't confident. He was just a dick. Mm. As Spider-Man 2, he was a dick. You ever go back and watch those two Spider-Man movies with Andrew Garfield?
I've never seen him.
He's just a fucking dick in them. He's not even like... He acts like a dick to everyone.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
Even as Peter. He acts like a dick to Flash Thompson and like fucking like dunks on him from 40 feet out. Peter was smart enough in the comics. No, you can't do that as Peter. Like, okay, I'm sorry. This is the most geeky I'll get with Spider-Man talk right now. But
Peter.
Yeah. But even in these comics, it's like he's in awe of like Nick Fury. And the trailer's like, oh, you're Nick. Nick Fury's a guy with an eye patch and a gun. Peter shouldn't give a shit about that. It's not a threat. It's not something he should look up to. Sorry. He's got better powers than almost every hero in the MCU. He has cooler powers than. And he's stronger than just about all of them. Save for like Thor. So, like, stop being in awe of everyone, Peter. This is maybe the life coach. Stop being in awe. You can kick all their asses. Okay?
Are you going to shit in anger?
This is the closest you're going to get to Ian, you know, going off on the Ninja Turtle movies, which, by the way, they are rebooting the Ninja Turtles movie.
Again.
After, yeah. Well, they did two of them. They couldn't do a trilogy, and now they're doing another one. I guess that's good. Everything comes around on the CU podcast. It just takes enough time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We'll see what happens.
And then what's the other news? The Gearbox Randy Pitchford lawsuit looks messy, we'll just say.
Yeah, it looks messy. A lot of wild accusations.
Allegedly. Well, part of it's not even alleged. Randy Pitchford admitted on a podcast that he did lose like a USB drive that had porn on it.
Yes.
I guess there was also the corporate secrets, allegedly, that were on them, and money that was lost, millions of dollars and other things. So that looks messy.
Yeah, that looks like a...
It wasn't going to be a full topic because I don't know what we can add.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that Pitchford seems like a real fucking piece of work.
A piece of work, something my dad would say. Yes, yeah. Anyway, yeah, you're a piece of work. Nice way of saying you're a slime ball, you know. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Anything else before we get started with this topic, Ian?
I think we got to roll right into this Alien Blackout Mobile Backlash.
Alien Blackout on mobile. Some gamers are angry about it, Ian.
Yes, they are.
So this was announced visually on Twitter. People know what the hell this was referencing. I was like, oh, there's something coming up. And then they release a trailer. Alien Blackout. So we haven't had an Alien game in, what, like a four years or so?
Isolation was maybe even slightly longer than that, 5 years.
2014, I think, Alien Isolation.
Okay.
So they put out this trailer, or you watch this trailer, it's Ellen Ripley's daughter, which I didn't know they had in the continuity. Amanda Ripley?
Yeah, right? Ever since Isolation.
So she shows up in there? Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't play Isolation.
It's good.
It's good? It was better than the one that came out before that was shitty?
It's real good. It's terrifying.
Because the one I played at E3 back in like 2011 was terrible.
I don't know.
That was one that Randy Pitchford was a part of.
Oh,
back then.
Yeah, no, that was Colonial Marines.
Yeah, that was bad, right?
Isolation's more of a horror game. It's a sneak around and you actually have to deal with the alien like most people would have to deal with.
You don't have tons of just machine guns.
You have very little fire.
Oh, that sounds great. I want to play that.
It's terrifying.
It's an actual horror.
It's scary.
Survival game. Yeah. Okay.
Bonnie likes to watch me play it because I just fucking...
You go nuts, you're like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, so they released this trailer... And people didn't know what this was going to be. So they show you, you know, you're looking at the corridor, the dark corridors. You get like the storage room. Then you see a little map on this little readout that has different rooms and hallways. But at this point, you're not sure what type of game this is still.
Looks like opening and closing doors, like you were talking about earlier, maybe like a something that takes something from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Well, what I was going to say is when you first watch this trailer, you may not know what this is until you get to the end screen and it says App Store, Google Play,
sure,
Amazon App Store. So people are like, oh, this is a mobile game. What the fuck?
Yeah.
All right. So so Amanda Ripley returns. You're on a Weyland Yutani space station and you have to avoid a xenomorph to hunt down you and your crew. So people are upset about this.
People... Going back to the Diablo thing. People are more than welcome to be upset. That's not the issue. Just don't be an asshole about being upset.
Oh, sure. People have the right... Here's the thing.
The fact that I need to even describe this after 5 years is ridiculous.
Well, people... Here's the thing. People have the right to do a lot of things.
Yes.
You can set your balls on fire if you really want to. Maybe not be the best use of your time. But here, I think this was a... Not a bigger bait and switch than... Diablo Immortal. The thing with Diablo Immortal was that I think since the reveal was at the convention, it got blown up bigger than what it was. Even though Blizzard weeks before pretty much elbowed you and came out and said, we're not releasing a trailer for Diablo 4. Temper your expectations. They said that. We should have said that at the time we did our coverage.
They did.
But they did. But everyone ignored that and went nuts still. This is not to me, the Alien game franchise, of course, there's people that love the Alien game franchises, going back to Alien versus Predator. You know, I don't know if it's as hardcore as the Diablo
there's
fans.
There's some good Alien games, but the problem is they never stick to one...
Formula?
Really, one formula.
Bounce around?
You've got the first-person shooter ones. You've had... there was that real-time strategy Alien versus Predator one that was supposed to be awful.
I never played that one.
You've got, you know, Isolation, which is more of a stealth game. So I don't know that there's as much to expect other than like style wise, I don't think there's really something there's an expected style of game, but this one was advertised. This one was hinted at being, I think people thought this one was going to be a sequel to Isolation
instead of just being a Five Nights at Freddy's sort of clone.
Right.
Looks like you command your map. And you have different cameras you got to look at, what's going on in different areas. You have limited power with your motion tracker, and I guess you have to open and close doors. I'm guessing to trap the alien, also open doors for your crew to get to safety.
Right.
So you have to, it's managing all these things at once, which is kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's, when you have to manage the doors.
Power and the two
power,
doors.
The lights, yeah. so you keep those monstrosities at bay, right? It's the same thing, except it's one. So it's in that whatever genre that is, that's what it is. Features survive or die using only the space station's limited power supply to upgrade a holographic map, surveillance cameras, motion tracker, attempt to remain hidden and protect your crew from the perfect hunter in 7 fear-inducing levels, a new chapter in the Alien franchise. So I think the issue some people are having is that they're building this up as something bigger than what it should be.
Sure.
If they come out and just said, hey guys, here's an Alien game on mobile, it's cool if you have a mobile device, but this is not the next new chapter in the franchise. It's for most people that doesn't qualify as a chapter. Maybe that's what it is.
No, it's a diversion. First, a new diversion in the Alien franchise.
First class Alien mobile experience. First class. I'm not sure. Maybe it is first class for a mobile experience. I don't do a lot of mobile gaming. I play a lot of Texas Hold'em on my phone. That's what I do on Zynga. That's what I do. I'm pretty good in tournaments. Encounter fear again and again. So, yeah, you could be upset about it. No, saying you can't be upset, but At some point, though, we're going to cross that mark where this has become more of a regular thing where companies are going to announce big mobile games based upon gigantic properties.
They're just going to happen.
It's going to happen every month. It's going
to keep happening.
Yes, this isn't going to slow down.
Yeah. It makes them money.
Yes.
It makes them money, and because it makes them money, I don't really think it matters how much of a backlash there is against this shit. It's not going to stop.
No. Because if you yelling about it, it's not going to stop thousands of people potentially buying it somewhere else. That don't keep up with the backlash.
And don't forget, we're not the only market.
No, we're not the only market. Thank you, Ian. There's markets all over the world. And if I'm a person, by accident, going to the store and being like, oh, look at this. There's an alien game. I'm going to check it out and buy it. Right. That's how a lot of these games are bought. By algorithms, by people randomly finding them, by searching.
People sitting in airports with nothing to do.
Sitting on the fucking toilet. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm tired of playing Flappy Bird. Let's see what else is out there. Oh, an alien game? Well, that sounds cool. They don't know that they're supposed to be as upset as they should be.
So the main, really, the takeaway here is, the thing I need to say is, because they mention it here, they should have done it beforehand, but they did it right afterwards. They announced that there are other alien games in the works. Just sure. Like with Diablo, it's not like you're not going to get Diablo 4.
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point.
At some point.
With this, you're going to get your alien game at some point. And before people bring up this shit again, because people really mistook that, I'm actually a huge Diablo fan, and I'm an even bigger Alien fan. It's my favorite franchise.
Well, you said 2 months ago that I've been playing Diablo on my Switch. It was one of the first things you said.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You said I've been playing. It doesn't matter, though, in the outrage culture.
No.
It doesn't matter.
But as a massive Alien fan, I'm not like, I can't get worked up about this. It doesn't look good.
Oh, no. I don't know if the quality is... This could be utter shit.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah. And how much is this going to be? Well, how much is it at the App Store when you click on it? Buy it from Amazon. I know Amazon sold apps. I guess $13.06? What? That's Alien Isolation. What? Then you can't buy it from Amazon. What the fuck is this?
No, it's not out yet. It's pre-release.
Then there shouldn't be a link then. Okay, let me click download at Google Play. Let's click on Google Play Store here. Let's see. Oh, you can't buy it yet. Okay.
Yeah, it says pre-order.
How do you pre-order an app?
You do.
You can? People, I didn't know. So I didn't know
do
that.
It. It's silly. It's not all like right. It's going to sell out.
So you download it right away when it
goes. Yeah. It's on your phone the moment you fucking whip it out like a pistol.
All right. Well, is there anything else to add, Ian? I'm glad we're in agreement on this.
No, there's nothing else to add.
Because if we're in agreement on it, Ian, it can get, you know, awkward if you were wanting to interview me and then we had it scheduled.
Oh.
And then, you know, I initially agreed to do the interview to talk about things because, you know, we talked before.
Right.
Like a phone call. Uh-huh. You know, before. But, you know, but since you saw maybe other people reacting in a different way, you know,
I thought maybe I would
make a video about your reaction and make that the story.
I see.
Instead.
Right.
So then when the time for you interviewing me would come up, I would pretend that I was not available and said that I was sick, even though I'm still making videos at the same time. And then I already put out the video critiquing your take on it.
Right.
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
If I would put out that video then critiquing your take on it in the past, when you said, hey, Pat, are you going to do this interview with me? I don't mention that I put that video out.
Yeah.
Hypothetically. I just don't mention it. You know, this would be something I could potentially do.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I know that critiquing you is really the story and not just clickbait trash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're the story.
Uh-huh.
You are the story. Not the company making the announcement. You're the story.
We're the story.
You're the story.
I'm the story.
You're the story. So I'm not saying that I would do that. But if I did, I don't know. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror if that happened, not be able to even admit to you after the fact that I did the video. I couldn't admit it.
You'd be a click-hungry coward.
I would be ashamed to be call myself a man anymore after that. Hypothetically, of course.
Hypothetically.
That happened. Hypothetically.
Yeah.
I could go so far as to say I should take a hot bath and open up a vein or two after that.
Whoa!
I mean, because I couldn't... I'm just saying hypothetically. Hypothetically. I couldn't be able to live myself if I did something that slimeballish. Hypothetically, of course. Oh, hypothetically. It's all hypothetical, right?
It's hypothetical.
It's hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical.
I could never do that to you.
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't. Okay. Oh my God. Ian.
Yeah.
There was a breakup.
Yeah, there was. So Activision and Bungie are not seeing each other anymore.
They're not seeing each other?
No. So, brief.
Is Bungie going to go outside Activision's window with a boombox?
Yeah. Over their head? brief history of what's going on here, what Bungie's been through. Very brief. Bungie formed in, I think it was 91, 92. They did some development for the Mac. They were well known for, I believe it was called Marathon, was the game that they did. They were making a title for the original Xbox. I think Microsoft acquired them in 2000. That, of course, ended up being Halo. They were... that deal ended, I believe... No, they negotiated their way out of it. They negotiated their way out of their deal with Microsoft in 2010. That's when Activision bought them up. And now, here we are, 8 years later, and... So,
Bungie 2000, Microsoft 2010. So,
independent Activision. To Microsoft, to briefly, like, minutes independent to Activision.
Okay.
And now they've negotiated their way out again.
And they've been... Really, the Destiny franchise is what Activision was interested in.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happened. They acquired Bungie, and Bungie immediately started working on Destiny, and they haven't done anything really since.
They've done two games and tons of add-ons, right?
And a bunch of add-ons. And it seems like Destiny 2 is, you know, finally at that point where people really kind of wanted to see that game all along. The nice thing about this is stuff between Bungie and Activision was tense from the get-go, including, like, leading up to the launch of the original Destiny. One thing that they really did not like was the fact that Activision was... Because it's Activision, and Activision and Ubisoft do this sort of shit. All the major companies do. They wanted it on a yearly time frame.
So, okay.
Meaning
so,
you have to pump out a game
or something.
Or an expansion every fall. And they didn't like that. Which is actually to their credit. I mean...
Because then it becomes like Assassin's Creed, where we have to see a new fucking game every year.
Right.
Or Call of Duty, there's a different
Yeah, or a new expansion. And it's like, this way, they can probably do smaller add-ons when they want. They don't have to feel as...
pressure.
Rushed. I mean, if you're a creator worth... I mean, all of these creators, even the ones that are still stuck under yearly games, no one can possibly like that. It stifles your creativity, and it ruins all your good ideas.
It becomes a factory at that point.
Right,
This is a creative endeavor. Yeah, it's a product, but you can't just pump... It'd be like saying, well, pump out an Avengers movie every year.
Right.
No, I can't just do that. It's not how this works.
Right. And that's when games get shitty. People, you know, people want to know why... I don't think anyone does, but there's a reason why the Assassin's Creed series is incredibly spotty, you know, according to people who play it. Like, the second one was really good. The third one, no one cared about. The fourth one was fine, and then it took, like, three more until this year's this Greek one, which actually...
Supposed to be pretty good?
I like Greek mythology, so I kind of want to play it if I can find it on sale or it comes through
Luna. Well, I think it's mythology. This is actually just historical.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry.
You're not fighting gods and things.
But it's in ancient Greece. Yeah.
Ancient Greece is cool. Ancient Rome, ancient Greece, all that stuff. Okay, so Destiny comes out fall 2014. Just trying to track this. And then they do expansions... They did expansions that year, and then they did House of the Wolves in 2015. They did a larger expansion.
Yeah, there's
September 2015.
Yep.
And then they did other expansions after that. They did Rise of Iron, released September 2016, and then Destiny 2 was September 2017.
17.
So they've been pumping this shit out.
And they did a couple small ones, and then they did a huge update to Destiny 2 this past fall,
you
called
say
Forsaken.
Destiny's Child was the sequel.
Oh.
My Kelly Rowland.
I love Kelly Rowland.
Sure.
So, anyways, yeah, apparently the mood was quite happy. It said in one of these articles here that I think I closed on that before it went public, Bungie was talking about it at an employee meeting, and they were popping champagne and applauding. I mean, I don't think anyone really truly wants to work for...
We're indie again.
I don't think anyone truly wants to work for Activision. And Activision stock actually dropped. Activision Blizzard stock dropped 7% after the news. And then I believe it continued to fall the day after. I'm not sure where it's at right now.
I wonder if there was an escape clause or they just willingly said this isn't working out. Because this has to be making money for Activision still. Or they
well,
buy
actually, they said that so Forsaken, the most recent expansion, did very well critically, like almost unanimously, which is interesting for a Destiny game because there's always like people who are hit or miss on it.
Okay.
So this one apparently did very well, but I guess it didn't meet Activision's sales goals. So maybe
okay,
so Activision.
They're okay saying we don't want to publish this anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. They said we have enjoyed a successful 8-year run. I guess that's when they first started developing Destiny.
Yeah.
And would like to thank Activision for their partnership on Destiny, Bungie said in a blog post. Looking ahead, we're excited to announce plans for Activision to transfer publishing rights to Destiny to Bungie. With our remarkable Destiny community, we are ready to publish our own, while Activision will increase their focus on owned IP projects. Okay. All right.
So it's a good thing. It's really nice to see them get their independence again, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe they won't be so quick to get bought up.
Or at least, I guess, I don't know how much money they get in the publishing deals, you know.
Yeah.
Bungie has a brand new game development thanks to a $100 million investment from NetEase. Okay. Well, that helps.
Yeah.
They don't need Activision money to get something done anymore.
No.
That's a lot of this. That's the relationship. You give me money that we wouldn't have had to make the game, and you get a chunk, and you get to publish it. And they don't need that anymore. It hasn't been working out. Maybe they needed that 10 years ago, but not now.
Yeah, I should go back to Destiny, too. It was kind of fun.
Were you surprised they released Destiny 2 so quick after the original? Was it no?
Well, yes and no.
That's what the complaints I heard was that they really didn't need to release it that soon, a full sequel at the time.
From what I understand, and I did not play a lot of Destiny 1, I played a little bit. From what I understand, they had just kind of, with how they made the game, I think kind of worked themselves into a corner where to fix some of the initial problems with the game that they wanted to fix. I think they just had to do some stuff from scratch. But, yeah, it's a fun game. It's not 100% my type of thing, but it's actually, I do find Destiny pretty amusing.
Does Bungie still work on Halo at all at this point?
No.
So that's just Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft has the rights to Halo. Bungie does not do Halo at all.
They gave up their baby.
It's 343 Studios or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
They gave up their little Halo baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, they said they wanted to be done with...
They were done with it.
I think Reach was the last one they wanted to do. I think they were more than happy to give it up. We've done what
we've done enough of them. We're done. Yeah. After three, what the hell else is
there? There's three, ODST.
That's right, ODST.
And then Reach. And Reach was like the prequel that, you know, shows the beginning of the end of everything. So
just creatively, they're like, we're done.
Yeah, I think they're like, this is good for us. We tap out if you want to keep. And the thing is Halo hasn't meant really anything to anyone since Bungie.
Hasn't meant anything to anyone?
Well, I mean, like,
it don't mean shit.
I mean, on the 360... All I got were questions for Halo games. On the Xbox One, no one's looking for Halo 5.
Gotcha.
You know.
All right, Ian.
Yeah?
So, we've had a report about SNES games potentially coming to Switch Online.
Oh?
Via a little sleuthing done. Someone on Twitter looked into some of the code. At Cappuccino Heck, Capu, looked into the code on the Switch and found materials and items for the following games there. Super Mario Kart, Super Soccer, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Demon's Crest, Yoshi's Island, Stunt Race FX, Kirby's Dream Course, Poppin' Twinbee, Star Fox, Contra 3, Kirby Superstar, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Super Metroid, Super Mario World, Pilot Wings, F-Zero, Star Fox 2, and he said LOL, Super Punch-Out, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, Super Mario All-Stars, and Breath of Fire 2.
Hmm.
Some hints that references to those 22 Super Nintendo games in Switch Online's code strings. I'm not sure what that is. Is that like Polio String Cheese? I don't know. But when you look at that list... That doesn't seem like a far-fetched list of games that they could potentially put on a Switch Online service.
Oh, yeah,
even if they release it in pieces. Because it's mostly first-party, but then the third-party games on there, some of those were on the SNES Classic, so that makes sense.
And they're with companies that have been known to work.
Yeah.
Breath of Fire is Capcom, Legend of the Mystical Ninja is Konami. So, you know, these are companies that we've already seen cooperation with in these these digital releases, the minis, things like that.
So I'm guessing this must have happened after they did an update and loaded this into the new, whatever, when you do a Switch update.
It's possible.
It has to be. It couldn't be there from the beginning. They wouldn't have known. So this, we're not shocked that Super Nintendo might do this.
Super Soccer? Give me fucking Super Batter Up or fucking Super Tennis.
Well, Super Soccer, maybe for the European audience. I don't know.
Sure.
Just put it on there.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's the one thing you get pissed about? Ah, fucking Super Soccer on there.
Even their NCAA game was good.
Really? I don't like those. I don't like Stanley Cup hockey. Bought it as a kid. I don't like
the console. Oh, that's the NCAA one, too?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay, then. I'm not.
Those are not fun games. No. And hell, I played a full season of NHL Stanley Cup with Brian Leetch and the Rangers. That's a mistake because it's like you're skating in Jell-O. And it takes 18 years to get across the ice. Yeah. Not saying it's not amazing technology at the time with the Mode 7 going on. It's just not for me. Maybe the NCAA was slightly better with that. I doubt it, though.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. I seem to remember it being better, but it doesn't look like it. Never mind.
Oh, you thought NCAA was a good game when that came out? I'm not saying it was terrible, but it was gimmicky as hell. With turning around and doing all that.
I just played it at my friend's house quite a bit.
My friend Joey, who was like the kid who could play every sport and be good at it, he had NCAA. Anyway, so we don't know the timing of this. Obviously, this doesn't tell us timing. This could come out in a few months. Nintendo could announce it next week that this is coming. It can come out later in the year. We don't know. We don't know if this means it'll be 3 a month. We don't know if it'll be 10 a month or all at once. We have no idea.
It might not mean anything. It could just be testing. It's like when people testing something. It's like when people hacked into the PlayStation Classic and found that list of games, and you know, people are like, "Oh, well, it doesn't necessarily mean anything."
Sure, but it's not nothing, as Frank would say.
Sure,
it means that there's a potential here. This could be coming. You know, I love to know what this means in terms of what items were found. Were they descriptions of the games, or was it like screenshots of it? I'm not sure looking at this article. Nintendo said, "We have nothing to announce on this topic." Okay.
That's all right.
And last year Reggie said, "As a consumer looks forward to engaging with our classic content, that is going to happen more and more with the subscription service," meaning, I guess, adding more games. I would... Dollars to donuts. Mm-hmm. Say that this year we're going to see Super Nintendo games on the Switch. It would make sense.
Oh, probably. I'd say around fall.
You think fall?
Yeah,
I think it'll be sooner than that.
Really?
I think summer. We'll see. We'll see by summer.
Well, okay. When? I mean, when did September sometime? Whenever, like a year after they launch their service, I have a feeling
you think
they'll
so?
Throw them on. Yeah,
I think they'll want to pump it up before that. But okay, but that may not release all 22 at once.
Oh no, they're gonna drip them just like they're fucking dripping these NES games. And by the way, I do have to tell you, I'm fucking pissed that they're only putting out the two this month.
Oh, we're not getting the Japanese one.
Yeah, we're not getting Mecha Joy Fight, which is interesting. It's recently been featured in Smash Brothers.
Kind of short-sighted not to just give us a Japanese game too. You can't create your own Japanese profile though.
No, I know, but Switch, you it's just annoying have to do that because
it's annoying.
My point is, this is a game that you know, it's a neat little fighting game. You would imagine people would be able to figure it out, and we already got Twinbee. We've already got one game that never came out over here. Twinbee never came out over here. It was only in Japan. Why we're not getting Mecha Joy Fight?
And let us play the
Joy Mecha Fight.
Let us give us the option. If we want to play the Japanese Famicom Disk System Legend of Zelda, give me the option for the different music and like why not give me the option?
Right.
Like it doesn't cost you anything.
It's Nintendo being dumb.
Maybe they're thinking maybe no one cares about it or no one wants it.
We've got to be fucking past that.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm playing Nintendo's devil's advocate in Japan. They kind of know what we want, but not totally yet. Hire me, Nintendo. I'll tell you what people want.
We're fucking past them. Throw a game over here. If no one plays it because they can't figure it out, then no one fucking plays it.
Well, they can easily remedy that. But yeah, it is weird, especially like you said that they already had it. A Famicom one,
right,
available for everyone. But this is exciting, and this is why, because I think it's gonna be fun as hell to be able to play Super Mario Kart multiplayer again. I mean, the original goofy ass one. I think this will be fun.
Yeah,
it'll be a blast.
I love that game.
Let's see what other multiplayer ones we have on here. F-Zero's not multiplayer, unfortunately. Contra 3 Stunt Race FX, that was multiplayer, right? Never got into that.
No idea. Actually, no.
But even Super Mario All-Stars or playing through Super Mario World together, that could be fun. Going back and forth. That's a fun multiplayer game, even though you take turns beating it. All right. Okay, and Star Fox 2, which I still haven't played on the Super Nintendo Classic. What do you think for the books? Should Star Fox 2 be in like the weird game section at the end, just to cover it?
I think it should get covered since it was developed around that time but never released.
They put in the unreleased game section?
Or
weird game section like with like Power Fest or no. And you know, stuff like that. So kind of a toss-up, right?
It is.
It's not exactly Cheetah Man, which was put on a game card even though it wasn't released. It wasn't released at all, you know.
Yeah,
All right, well, Ian will be the one that decides that. I'll leave it on Ian.
Ian will be like,
all right, where's Star Fox 2? How about you in the comments? Where should Star Fox 2 go in a certain Super Nintendo guidebook? What section? Really curious about that. All right, so you said maybe the fall. I think maybe the summer we're going to start seeing these Super Nintendo games. Ian, we're proud to be working with NordVPN.
Indeed.
That's what I use to keep myself safe online. And everyone now can too. If you care about the privacy and security of your info, NordVPN is giving you 66% off a 2-year plan when you go to nordvpn.com/CU podcast or use code CU podcast at checkout. Ian, what's a VPN?
Well, protects you.
It's a virtual private network, Ian.
Sorry.
And having one's more critical than ever because your info and browsing habits are out there for anyone to get a hold of. Your ISPs can also throttle certain websites, preventing you from looking at websites as well. Using a VPN can skirt around that. NordVPN has access to over 4,000 super speedy servers. Well, you have access to that in 62 countries, and your info is masked using military-grade encryption. There's a NordVPN app you can use on your phone. I have it on my phone. You can have it on your laptop, your computers. It's for iOS, Android devices as well. One account lets you use it up to 6 different devices. PC Mag made NordVPN their top editor's choice. Editor's top choice for a VPN.
Yeah. Up to 6 devices you can protect.
Unlimited bandwidth, Ian. You can also hop around the world, check out different servers. Maybe you can get cheaper airfare. Maybe you can watch a BBC show on the website you couldn't watch in the U.S. Maybe. Again, get that special offer, 66% off a 2-year plan. It's a great deal. It's not a lot of money. Go to nordvpn.com/CU podcast or use code CU podcast and get going with your secure web browsing today. Ian, you want a New Year's resolution you can keep? How about stop going to the post office to send letters and packages?
Oh, okay.
You can save time and money this year by using Stamps.com instead. I've been using Stamps.com for like 5 years almost at this point, sending out my DVDs, wristbands, game consoles, 10-game mystery boxes. I've done it all. All you need is a printer, computer, ink for that printer, and a Stamps.com account, and you can click it, and you can print, and you get your postage on.
Real postage.
International mail, local mail. You can get insurance on it. It's tracked. You have a nice account line. You can see what's going on. No more hassles, Ian. No more hassles. You get discounted postage rates. You can't even get it at the post office. It's also a fraction of the cost of the postage meters as well. And there's no equipment to lease, no long-term commitments. All right, Ian, this is what you got going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get on this.
Okay.
You can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage, and you get a digital scale.
Oh, ho.
Start off the new year right. Go to Stamps.com. Click on that microphone, Ian, not that one. The one at Stamps.com at the top. And type in CU Podcast.
CU Podcast.
That's Stamps.com. Enter CU Podcast for your 4-week trial. Get clicking and get posting today. Okay, Ian, we have a...
Speaking of older games...
That is CES news.
Yeah, CES news, retro bit and limited run. You asshole. I'm going to hit it first. Are putting out a re-release of Metal Storm. Mm. Humorously, I called it. After Retrobit has put out a number of things, but their best releases, and I think this is kind of where this one is heading. They did the really nice Holy Diver release, and then they did a really nice R-Type, Super R-Type and R-Type 3 release. And I'm assuming we're going to get, you know, more or less the same treatment here.
For the pictures, you see like a normal release. You see Metal Storm. Looks like a lighter gray cart. Not Nintendo gray, a lighter gray. And then probably the label will be a little different.
I'm sure it's going to have a label difference.
Yeah, then you have a nice nice box, like NES-style box. That's one picture. In the next picture, you see Metal Storm Collector's Edition in the black style bigger case. Right,
and that's, yeah, that's how they did the...
it's a totally different label on this, by the way.
That's how they did it for the Holy Diver and the R-Type ones. And they're nice. They come in nice boxes with spot gloss on them. You know, usually like some sort of, I don't know, like shiny detailing. And then when you open them, you get the game. Like I said, I'm just assuming this is how this one will be too, but there's the game in the box. There's usually like a notebook, stickers, postcard art, and then two pins have been in each of those sets. Ooh. Too. So they do a really good job on it. I'm looking forward to it. Metal Storm's one of my favorite games. This is a interesting choice because hopefully it'll let people play Metal Storm without paying an arm and a leg.
Well, legally.
Yeah.
Well, they're going on AliExpress or something.
Right, exactly. Because this is legal. This is another, and that's the reason why I had a feeling this one was coming. This is another IREM game. And those two really nice sets that they've done so far, the R-Type and the Holy Diver, those are both IREM. So,
did they do standard releases for those or just collector's ones?
There was just standard. Well, no, just collector's because it was basic. They're $60.
That's not bad for collector's then.
They're fucking...
All right, then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just going to do a collector's edition on this.
Yeah, I think that might be... Because there's, like, usually a limited one that's, like, up to 1,000 of a certain color. But they don't charge anymore. It's just who gets what. And then the other release is the exact same. It just has a different color cartridge.
I wonder what the market would be for just a non-collector's one. Maybe you charge them $35 for just the box and cartridge and manual. You know, you can do that. $40.
Sure.
You know, and put that out. And maybe people just want that. Maybe people don't want to pay $65 or so for the, you know, the little niceties that will never come out of the collector's box. I don't know.
I feel like 60 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, but again, you know, maybe not everyone wants that stuff. Maybe you want a standard one just to play the cart at that point. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. So, the relationship with Limited Run, it's also online at Castlemania. I never heard of Castlemania.
Castlemania, Ryan.
Oh.
Good dude.
So they'll advertise it and probably be a drop ship from them.
I could be wrong, but I believe Castlemania Ryan is also part of what happens with the Retrobit stuff.
Oh, he helps do the project.
Yes. Because they're basically, from what I can tell, they were always sold through him.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, it's good stuff and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that, I mean, they have the IREM license, so I don't know. Can we get Schoon with the little light in the corner?
Do they still have the rights to Schoon? Let's see. Was that
IREM?
They didn't develop it, but they might still have the rights to it.
Oh, right.
That was like Home Data or one of those smaller companies.
Gotcha.
I love me some Schoon. Was that a good Pat the NES Punk video, Schoon? That's a deep Pat the NES Punk cut.
No one
brings up Schoon. See, when you say, Pat, you did 50 videos, you got to remember stuff like Schoon and weird ones like Commando in there, because that helps... flesh out the library right there. Let's see. We're not counting Super Nintendo. Let's just look at a certain NES Guide app that is getting totally overhauled, by the way. That's why I never... We'll talk in the future why I never bring up the app that much. That'll be a fun...
My buddy Lincoln brought up that Hammer and Harry would be pretty awesome to see.
Oh.
Because there's a sequel in Japan that never got a translation patch, according to him.
Okay.
And then Harry was European, so...
Sure.
Those are IREM. That would be fun.
We didn't get our hammering done here. Okay, let's look at publisher, IREM. I'm not just pumping up the app. This is cool. I can do this easily. So, Kickle Cubicle, Image Fight, Metal Storm, Schoon, and Hammer and Harry. That was the IREM published games on the NES.
Nice.
So, not much on the NES side. I don't think Image Fight is worthy of a release, do you?
Image Fight, but
three
no.
stars, but...
Kickle Cubicle could have a really fun deluxe edition.
You think so?
Yeah.
Think there'd be a market for Kickle Cubicle? I love Kickle Cubicle. I don't know if there'd be a market for that. Versus like a Metal Storm or a...
Oh, sure. I'm just R-type. Saying. I'm just picturing a box full of...
A colorful...
Joy.
Yeah, a box of joy.
Of joy, yeah.
Comes with like an Abe Lincoln looking corn cob figure inside.
Some popsicle pins. That'd be nice.
Okay, make it for Ian. make it for Ian and lose like $30,000 in the endeavor, but Ian will buy it.
Brian jokingly said that they chose Metal Storm because I requested it. Because I sent him a DM like 2 months ago, and I was like, I bet you it's going to be Metal Storm next.
What else could it be?
Say it. Well, I don't know. Could be in any number of things. They've got the import rights. It's not like Holy Diver came out over here.
But when you talk about NES games that should get a re-release, a licensed re-release, because they're too expensive and people love them.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking like 10 to 20 games of people that would actually buy. Sure. They'd buy Little Samson. They would buy Metal Storm. Maybe they'd buy Panic Restaurant.
You need a Gunnack.
Maybe they'd buy Gunnack. There's not a huge amount of games that would be marketable. Panic Restaurant would be a funny release too. But they're all like these spacey themed ones that are, you know, they're doing first. I'd love to see Little Samson probably would be the...
Holy Diver's Castlevania type themed. Sure. Not...
But the litmus test should be something like Little Samson to me. How would that do as an official re-release? You know,
so, probably pretty decent.
Pretty decent? All right, do Kegel Cubicle for Ian since he requested it. They do because he requested Ian. Jesus Christ.
He's joking. I'm aware of that.
But somewhere down you think, yeah, this power, you're going to start suggesting games
out. I had to explain to people that I was like, no, if you're taking this seriously, it wasn't me.
You should do that Karnov re-release next. So that's what you should do.
Embassy the Rescue Mission. Rescue the Embassy Mission.
You can't even say the name of the game correctly. You're in love with that game, huh?
It's a damn good game.
It's okay.
That's damn good.
It's a damn good
game. 4.5 stars, easy.
Ian, don't
it's mock a different genre, Pat.
Ian doesn't know how different genres are rated differently from each other.
I just think that overrates things.
And you underrate things.
No, I rate them appropriately.
All right, Ian. Well, then you should have did some reviews for Super Nintendo Book. Anyway, okay. We brought up cloud gaming last time on the podcast, how it could be the future of gaming. And look what happens, because I'm psychic. We have reports of two...
TechCrunch wrote this article for you because you requested it.
Because I requested it.
Yeah.
That's right. So The Verge had an exclusive first that talked about Verizon quietly testing its own Netflix-style cloud gaming service. Verizon Gaming is already running on the NVIDIA Shield and soon Android. So this is the first piece of news, not as important because I don't know if this is going to go over big with Verizon. So
they're saying they'll use the NVIDIA Shield and then, you know, it'll probably work its way to smartphones.
Sure.
So that's a different type of, I don't know. I think maybe a streaming service for smartphone games, depending on the price, might work.
What does an NVIDIA Shield go for? What do they cost? A couple $100?
I'm not certain. Let's people see, like them,
though. 180 at Best Buy, 170 on Amazon. Okay. And that's just a little all crappy little thing hooked up to a TV with a controller, right?
No, I mean, you can hold it. It's portable, too.
It's portable?
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have them who like them. I don't know a ton about them.
So, okay. So they're investigating that. Verizon has been quietly recruiting players to take part in the test, which currently involves over 135 games. The Verge has the inside skinny on this. Participants are promised a $150 Amazon gift card upon completion. They're given a free NVIDIA Shield, Xbox One controller, and a login for the test. The Verizon gaming app comes pre-installed on Shield devices. Verizon will also be distributing it to testers privately through Google Play later this month. Okay. And then when you click on it, there's some screenshots here they got from someone. You have Overwatch, World Cup, Fortnite, Battlefield. You have FIFA on here. You have God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Destiny 2. Far Cry 5. So these are new games. Red Dead Redemption 2. All right. No Man's Sky. All right. You have Metro. Anthem.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are games that you would have to have on a service like this?
Yeah. Question, of course, is how well does the streaming work? I still don't think we're quite there.
I'm not sure. God of War is PS4 exclusive.
Yes.
How are they getting that on there?
They can. They were talking about it with on this Amazon Cloud article as well about.
Oh, we're getting to Amazon.
Trials
based performance.
They're talking about how it would probably incorporate games from other systems.
That's incredible. Then,
but you know they.
I think you give every individual user their own online account to do that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because when you, how would you be able to license? Would Sony be okay licensing them? For a certain amount of, say, God of War. Say we're like, oh, we need 1,000 licenses for God of War 4. You know what I mean? Like, how would that work out? I guess that's, sure. that's how it worked out. They'd allow their servers to have that amount of people be able to play it at one time. I guess that's how it'd have to work. I didn't think about that because this isn't all just PC stuff. PC, it's like, who cares? You buy, you know, the copies on PC and you're good to go. All right, so that's Verizon's one, right?
Right.
So also, though, announced right after this was an Amazon cloud gaming service. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, okay, now I'm paying attention more. So Amazon, they own Twitch. They've been getting into the gaming stuff more and more. Razer announced recently it would integrate Amazon's Alexa into its gaming platform. Okay. So now it looks like Amazon wants to get into this as well.
Right. And I think this is, you know, more of a truly... It really does truly look like a Netflix thing where it's not like just one publisher, one company. They're saying right here that one of the issues... that they may face is getting game publishers on board. For many, the bread and butter comes from sales of the games that are played on consoles, usually games that are specific to one particular proprietary console. So a service that is constructed Netflix or Amazon Prime style, where a consumer pays a single monthly fee to access whatever content they want when they want it, could eat into those margins. The only thing I would say here is I think whoever's writing this is overestimating the amount of exclusives that we actually have on consoles these days.
Sure.
They're definitely there, but it's not like it was even 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you don't have Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC yet. It'll get there eventually. You know, that happens with the GTA games as well. So you're really looking at, yeah, you're looking at probably people be like, oh, where's Spider-Man 4? Well, okay, but here's all these other ass games that aren't all consoles and PCs. So you don't have to worry about it.
Right. So I don't,
so it still has a lot of value.
Right.
Value.
So even if they don't get those exclusives, I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt them a ton.
No. Probably not. Because especially if it's not that much money.
Right. But I have really good internet, and I used PlayStation Now for a little bit, and some games still just don't stream. Well, I just don't...
Well, what, you need a fast connection.
You need a fast connection, but even then, if you're playing stuff like fighting games or action games that are getting hectic, like, you don't want to worry about any stutters or lag. I feel like everyone's jumping into this. I feel like these companies are jumping into it, but I honestly don't feel like the tech's quite there yet.
Well, Amazon, though, has their AWS cloud service, though, which is what a ton of websites use.
Okay.
In order to, because they operate out of the cloud. That's why, like, when Amazon's servers go down, half the websites in the web go down.
Yeah.
Amazon's, they're at the forefront of this technology.
Sure.
So that helps. It's probably what their own website's on, you know. So if they're going to do it, they're the people to do it, besides Jeff Bezos being able to buy and sell all of us right. 10 times over. They're the players that could do this, probably even more so than Verizon, to me.
Crushing seltzers.
Go for it, man. Get that ginger ale. For me, this is all about, well, people, this is all price. If this is reasonably priced, you're going to have a ton of people jump in just, I think, out of curiosity. I would.
Yeah.
I would. If it's, what's reasonable, $20 a month, $25 a month for cloud gaming?
I think.
If it's a decent amount of titles.
I think PlayStation Now is about $20 a month.
I'd jump in. Why not? Let's put it this way. If they could somehow have me play a PS4 game on my PC or on my TV that without the console, that would be great.
Sure.
If they could have me play, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 on my PC, even though it's coming from, you know, a fucking Xbox One somewhere on their server or whatever, that would be incredible. I'd be in. I'd be in for it. I think we always said we're moving towards that direction anyway, but now it's interesting, like you said, about you have all these competing services. They may not want that because now I don't want you playing Spider-Man on a cloud service because that's how we make our money, you know, Sony selling the consoles.
Right, exactly.
So that's where it's going to get kind of weird, which is kind of the direction we've now gone with streaming services.
Right, it's not even so much, I think, that it's the exclusives that would necessarily be hard to get. It's the first-party exclusives.
Sure. Yes. And then how does DLC play into it? And how do things like that happen?
Well, my experience with PlayStation Now was that most of the time the DLC was incorporated, but there were some games where you would have to download it. You might maybe have to download it separately.
All right, I'm on board for this. It's going to be all cloud gaming except for Nintendo. That's Nintendo's going to have it locked down 50 years from now. You'll be playing your VR integrated brain switch in your head. literally brain switch. You hit a button to reset right there.
Kill switch.
The kill switch. I think that's where we're going to end up. I really think so. We now have cross-platform play on games. What did I just see the announcement that, what was it? Rocket League is now the second game that have cross-play against, across all consoles and PC. That's become a more regular thing.
Oh, so Sony.
I think Sony
quieted down a bit on that.
I think they realize they have to because people are not happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they think. Yeah.
So that's where using your voice works.
Yeah, yeah. In Gadget, this happened the past day or two. Rocket League supports crossplay on every console, even PS4. So now they're. So yeah.
That's cool.
Why not?
Yeah.
Consoles are going to be a thing of the past, except for Nintendo because they're weird.
So. Speaking of. No, they're getting out of the console business.
They're done. Nintendo's doomed.
They're never making another one. Speaking of streaming, did you see this morning that Netflix is raising their rates again?
Was it $1 a month for the HD?
I think $1 to $2.
$11 to $13 bucks for HD. Man.
Yeah.
They're making so much content. But then again, don't relicense fucking Friends for $100 million or whatever the hell they paid for that.
Right.
That's where this comes from. And now the services are pulling out. So again, it's the same thing. Because now, you know, 10 years ago, what's streaming? There was no streaming services 10 years ago besides, you know, Netflix getting into it. Now you got Warner Brothers.
Well, wasn't there GameTap back then, too?
There was GameTap. I'm talking about for movies.
Oh, and TV. Okay.
But so now you have ESPN Plus, Warner Brothers doing their own thing, Disney doing their own one, CBS doing their own one with all the Star Trek stuff. I think NBC's going to do their own one. You have Amazon with their own original content. So now you're going to have 15 fucking streaming services to sign up for in order to get everything that was all only on like Hulu and Netflix.
Yeah, it's awful. It used to be the cheap alternative to cable, and now it's just like cable, but every streaming service is a different channel.
Welcome to capitalism, everyone. But that's what happens. Netflix was the first. Now they're getting bit in the ass because the cost of licensing this stuff is too much, and now their content's going away anyway. Disney's like, oh no, we have half the library of movies now because of the Fox deal.
They do have Blue Planet 2 from BBC on there.
On Netflix?
I've been watching the shit out of that. It's good.
That's like the Earth series? Same sort of thing?
It's the sequel to the Blue Planet. And
does the Earth survive in the sequel?
I don't know. But I swear, it's like, they say, I don't have a 4K TV. I feel like I'm watching something in 4K. It's just shot that fucking brilliantly.
4K? You still don't need 4K. You don't need it. For most stuff. Unless you have like an 80-inch TV, you don't need it. Anything else to add here?
Nope.
I think Amazon will make a play, and they'll do well because they have too much money. And plus, they have the AWS service, like I said before, that already runs. Half the fucking internet runs on it. All right, Ian. We have we want to talk about fucking Soulja Boy handheld?
No, I really don't want to talk about Soulja Boy anymore. He has a new handheld. It doesn't look like it comes with any games on it.
He learned his lesson. It's just a Vita knockoff thing, and you can buy it for half the price on Amazon.
Yep, it's more expensive than it should be.
Or AliExpress, wherever you want
to
buy it.
But it doesn't look like it comes with any games. So, there it is.
All right, we got a Patreon poll, Ian. This was the runaway landslide. All right, this was like Reagan's re-election in 84.
Ooh.
Against Mondale, right?
Fucking Mondale.
Did he win one state? Did Mondale win one state?
Oh, let's find out.
Reagan, you look that up. You look it up.
You talk, I'll look it up.
Now we're just curious about the 84 election. Hey, the stock market was rising high. Is America coming back in the 80s? 80s was awesome. All right. In third place, 7%. Should at least a small amount of nostalgia be a factor reviewing certain games? Second place, 15%. NES puzzle game discussion with a bullet. First place, and by the way, you can access this with patreon.com/CUpodcast. And number one, 78%. 78%. What retro games do people still fawn over that you personally feel are crap? In the 84 election, what happened?
Mondale got 13 electoral votes to Reagan's 525. Reagan carried 49 states. Mondale got one plus D.C. He got
D.C. Wow.
Mondale got Minnesota.
Minnesota. I said Massachusetts. I knew it was an M. Okay. Wow. So it wasn't, the popular vote was probably like 60% to 40 because you're never going to get 78%. But this is the biggest landslide ever. All right, Ian.
Popular vote was 54,455,472 to Mondale's.
Percentages.
Oh, they do. Yeah. 58 to 40. But okay. Still, the number's 64. Better. 37,577,350. So, yeah, I mean, that was...
Okay, Ian.
That's rough, bud.
All right, but it's not a historical podcast. Poor Mondia. What happened to him? So, Ian, what games, retro games, do people still fawn over today that you feel are, personally, are crap?
GoldenEye 64 is a real, real easy
Are people still
one.
Fawning over that one?
Yes. Yes. I had 6 copies at the beginning of, like, 1 week, in like, 2 weeks ago, down to 0. People love that game. They love it. And I feel like it's more so now, maybe, with an older audience that still holds on to it.
Yeah, people that played in high school or college.
Because I can't imagine it really grabbing anyone much younger than, say, 30. You know, someone who grew up with it. It's not a good game. Perfect Dark was the far superior game. And I have this conversation all the time with people in the store. Other ones, probably really don't care that much for Zelda Link to the Past.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get hate and a half. Well, you don't like the whole Super Nintendo system. So.
Well, I like Link to the Past. I don't like it as much as other Zeldas, and I say that just because if we're going on like a sort of an unpopular opinion thing, that always seems to be the one people list as their favorite. And it's good, but I don't think it holds a candle to Link's Awakening, which, I mean, it's a Game Boy one, but it's very good.
I didn't think GoldenEye was shit at the time, just because I was PC gaming and playing games like, you know, Doom and Doom 3D that were superior. You know, first-person shooters.
I thought that game was awful when it came out.
But
for that,
most kids...
For that reason.
And, you know, teenagers and... we're talking about kids that are like 17, 16 in high school, hang out with my cousin Chris. They didn't have PCs. So they didn't know any better.
And I understand that.
But you know, I did too, but I was still a snob. I was like, what the fuck is this controller? I want to use a keyboard.
Yeah,
exactly. And a mouse.
Exactly.
So I was pissed because I got my ass kicked because I didn't know how to fumble around with the fucking controller.
Oh, believe me, Kevin.
I'm so mad.
Kevin rubbed that right into my face.
I was so fucking mad.
You're
lucky, 1997 people, 98 people, that I didn't have a mouse and keyboard at that house.
Should have punched you in 98, Kevin, being such a wang.
Punch you now.
Punch you now. So what about you?
This is tougher for me because I'm not as contrarian as Ian is when it comes to most matters. But
I'm contrarian about GoldenEye. It's bad.
I'm not saying it's... Okay, maybe this should be better over... This is a loaded question because personally feel are crap. This is a loaded question.
Okay, so I personally feel GoldenEye is crap.
I'm looking at my even list of NES games. I'm like, oh, I don't like the game. Metroid's not crap. I'm just not into Metroid at all. None of these are crap, really.
Super Mario.
Mega Man's crap, okay? Mega Man is crap.
No. I had a feeling.
Mega Man's overrated.
I had a feeling you were going to go in that direction.
It's not crap. It's overrated. That's all. It's overrated. That's fair, right? I call it fair. It's fair.
Final Fantasy 2.
I can't... You know what?
Final Fantasy 2/4.
I need a list of, like, game, just all-time best... give me spat out some all time best retro games and I'll do it that way.
Wally Bear and the No Gang.
Underrated game.
My all time favorite NES game.
Top 100 retro games. IGN top 100 NES games. I don't want to click on that.
No, that'll be a nightmare.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Popular Mechanics did a top 100 best video games list. Popular Mechanics.
Let's go through the Popular Mechanics.
Hotline Miami coming in at number 100.
That's a good
game. It's like a Rolling Stone list. I got to put in something really recent at the start. I'm not going through this.
Awesome.
I ain't going through this list. EVE Online's on here. Okay. You know what's crap? Huh. Rock Band and Guitar Hero crap. There it is. Fuck those games. Not just because you play them in hotel rooms as your assholes. Don't like them.
It's fine.
I don't like them at all. They're crap. There it is. I found it. I just can't wait to think about that. Didn't like it when they came out. Didn't like it when you'd have digital press meetups and everyone's not playing other games. They're not trading games. Everyone's doing their crappy karaoke and little flicks playing Guitar Hero. I'm like, this is not a game. And I also said, this is going to be a fad. And I was right both times. Well, it's a game, but it's crap.
People call me for them all the time still.
And there's crappy people that call things for all the time. I'm not saying that.
Are you calling all people crappy?
All gamers.
Are you calling all gamers?
All gamers. I like Rock Hero.
Every single gamer who likes Guitar Hero or Rock Band is awful.
All Rock Hero gamers.
Definitely no room for nuance or wiggle in here.
My career ended in 2018. I'm going to end it this year, too. That's my resolution.
There you go. Let's end your career every year.
Every year, let's end it. Going forward. We should have CU Podcast, Our Career is Over shirts.
Yeah. That would be good.
You want to do that?
Yeah, CU Podcast, Our Careers Are Over.
Oh, man. Yeah, I found it. That's what it is.
I ended
but,
my
is that, but that's not retro. Is Guitar Hero retro?
No. No, probably not.
It's like 12 years old at this point.
Possibly.
Something like that. Okay, well, then I'm not good for this subject. Sorry. I'm just trying to think of something that came out that was super popular that I just didn't...
Mega Man. You hit it. Mega Man is the thing that
it's overrated.
You don't like.
Mega Man and Guitar Hero. They're both equally bad. There it is. There's my hot take. There. And Ian is like Link to the Past? I never heard that before.
I just don't think it's as good as everyone thinks it is. It's overrated. It's not crap.
So it's your Mega Man. It's your Mega Man.
That was my bad decision, but GoldenEye, that'll stay.
GoldenEye has its place. It's crappy compared to other games at the time, but it's still charming to me.
Fair enough.
Okay, there you go. All right, so Ian, where is it at, the Patreon?
Patreon.com/CU Podcast.
Ian's going to get some writing up on there.
Yeah.
Yep, today, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? You do some NES writing too? Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. All right, Q&A time on the CU Podcast as I choke back phlegm. At Brian...
Oh, no, this one doesn't say who asks. Who
does it? I'm going to ask. At all Brian right. Lapitan. Hello, gents. You've probably covered this. I think we have. But how do you combat game collecting fatigue? I find that if I miss out on sales and deals, I feel like I missed out. I have way too many games, and I find it hard to stop buying more. This goes for digital and physical.
It's maybe a painful answer that you don't want to hear, but I found the best way to combat game collecting fatigue was to really just narrow down my focus to two systems I really like and focus on collecting and finding, and I'm not even talking full sets, for those. With the modern systems and stuff, I understand the sales and the deals, and it's tough to avoid them, but... I mean, what you got to start saying to yourself, and this was hard for me, was... Oh, it's only $3, but is it only $3 that you're flushing down the toilet? Are you ever really going to play that? I have a billion my PS4 library between sales and free games looks like most people's Steam libraries, and it's an embarrassment. I'm never going to get to any of that. So it's I don't know. You just got to try to I don't want to say it right away because it's not a judgment here. Stop spending so much money on it. But if you're going to spend money on it and you focus just on a couple of areas, you'll probably be happier with those collections and you won't have to worry about keeping track of everything that's going on. So let's say you have a PlayStation 4 that you like playing, but you're also collecting for the Super Nintendo and something. Then maybe not worry about the PS4 so much. Just play what comes out on it that you want. And that gives you money to put into a really nice collection that you'd like. That's how I combated my fatigue. I just stopped buying shit for everything and started only buying stuff for Game Boy and PC Engine and suddenly, or in like DS, and I'm having a lot more fun.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. How did I stop buying things? Oh, I bought it all. So that was probably part of it. But this is psychological. So the yearning to buy more and that you're missing out on deals, it's a compulsive behavior.
Yeah, it is.
It's compulsive. It's a form of OCD in some way. Just whether or not it's driving that much of your personality. It used to be that I couldn't miss a swap meet every fucking Sunday.
Right.
You
would get the exact same. You would get that FOMO, that fear of missing out.
It's fear of missing out, which is an OCD in a way. But you step back after a while and it's like, what am I really missing out on? Am I missing out on potentially saving $20 on a deal? It's basically gambling. It's basically the same feeling you get when gambling. It's a rush when you find, a $100 game for a dollar. That's what you are really seeking when you're saying I'm missing out on deals. I'm missing out on, what's at the swap meet. That's really what it is.
Right.
Because most people will have the money in some part to buy at least some of the games they'll want that aren't, you know, astronomically priced. Most people can buy a $20 game here and there, or a $50 game, or even a $100 game. It's really, like I said, it's a gambling rush. And I think that's what it was with me, is that that's part of what, how I got over that, though, was just skipping it. Forced myself to skip it, and you saw that feeling that, oh my God, I'm missing out on something. And maybe you were. Maybe you found out someone later got like a Sega Saturn and some games for a cheap amount of cost. But long term, though, you're not really missing out because you're enjoying life otherwise. And I think that's part of what didn't dawn on me. I had to give up the flea market at some point because I had to finish the book and I had to work on the weekends. But sometimes your focus just shifts. I'm not saying you should force your focus to shift, but maybe that's not a bad thing every once in a while. To be like, I want to focus entirely on something not game-related. This is me hating gamers again. Yeah. I'm just saying, though, maybe you can do something else for a while. And you'll find out you won't miss it as much.
And it's actually really nice to do that. I mean, that's how I work. I have, you know, a few major hobbies, and it's tough for me to have them overlap. Music, video games, and reading. And sometimes I'll just let go of one completely for a little while and focus on the others. And it keeps that fresh if you just rotate it. And the other thing is, like, I think a lot of people get caught up just in the idea of saving the money, but to kind of further go back to what I was saying before, like on a Steam sale or a PS4 sale, especially where it's digital, it's not like you can flip this. So it's not like if you're buying a game on sale for $10, you can then go and flip it for its normal $50 when it's off sale. And if you're saving...
Buy more to save. Yeah, that's the expression.
Right. You're not saving money in the long run if you're never going to use this stuff. So you save $30 on a $50 game, so it's a $20 game, but you're still spending $20 on something you're never going
to
play.
So if I want to go to the swap meet because I'm missing out on a $50 game I can buy potentially for $10, I'm still spending $10 to get that $50 game. So unless I was definitely going to buy that game separately, or at some point I know I'm going to sell that game for a profit, there's no point. I'm not missing out on anything.
Right.
Does that make sense? So my best example is my Genesis collection. I'd say 95% of that's from the swap meet.
Right.
I would probably not have bought at least 70% of those games. This is like Steiner math. I probably would have bought, like, I don't know. If I had to go on eBay and say, Ian, I really like Splatterhouse, so I'll buy Splatterhouse 2 and 3. I really love Rolling Thunder, I'll buy Rolling Thunder 2 and 3. I wonder why the first one was never put on Genesis. Anyway, see what I mean? I would have bought some Genesis games.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe for more money than what I would have found at the swap meet or whatever else. But I would end up spending less than probably buying the 250 Genesis games I now own that I'll play maybe 10% of them ever.
Right.
And if I bought them for $10 each or $5 an hour, that's still more money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I working through therapy here?
Yeah.
I'm getting uncomfortable. I hate retro gamers now too, apparently.
You hate them all.
I hate them all, Ian. But I look at Hero Tonma, I got that for a cheap price. But that was completing the collection, though. I was going to do that. I'm one away, by the way. I'm one away, Ian, from my game collecting retirement. One game that I definitely want. I won't say which one that I need to complete a collection.
For this?
For Tournament.
Oh, I know which one.
I should have bought by now, but I have one game. Pat's Finger. And then it all goes into the trash. You can go dumpster dive for my collection. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to watch that happen. All right, boys, go get.
Hey, we can get those cool dumpster boys to come back and do a video on us if you do the dumpster diving.
Oh, I almost forgot about them.
Oh, the dumpster boys.
Memories. Oh, it's so endearing.
We still here. Anyways.
All right. Wow, this is a short one. Want to do another Q&A? Say fuck it? No, we're done.
We're done.
Okay.
It's been an hour and 15.
Kieran's got to edit this.
We're going weekly, man.
It's actually been easier, I think, mentally to do it. It's the same amount of work to upload and do all that, but it's like a small amount of time, so it's easier to do it.
Gives me a reason to greet the day on Tuesday.
What do? You going to sleep in otherwise?
Yes.
I wish I could sleep in still. All right, so NES Marathon in February. Ian and I, I'm going to be in L.A. for something else in early February, too. See if Ian can make it as well. Check out a certain NES guidebook. And the Super Nintendo one's coming up, ultimatesnes.com. New NES Punk video. Ian has a new sickness. I'm getting over my sickness still. I have like a liter of phlegm left in me at this point, it feels like. Good. It's so funny. Andre loves the... I'm looking at his Twitter. Andre loves the new Spider-Man trailer. He's like, I love everything about it. I'm like, I wish I could be as happy as Andre. I can't when it comes to it. I can't. All right.
All right. Everyone go read up on the 1984 presidential election.
Yes. We should just do a historical podcast sometime about that. Are people really complaining about, of course, that the Spider-Man trailer is a spoiler for the Avengers movie coming out? Like, you didn't know that they're filming a Spider-Man movie coming out? Like, seriously?
How is it a spoiler?
I've seen that before. I saw some Reddit dumb article, well, you shouldn't have Tom Holland in his suit on some talk show, because we know that these characters are coming back. They're not going to kill off 3/4 of the MCU.
See, that was one of my least favorite things about Infinity War. Everyone got all about the ending, and it's like, no.
It's still a great movie, the ending.
It's a fine movie, but the ending is not...
Only 3.5 stars?
Huh?
Only 3.5 stars.
Yeah, thereabouts.
he hates everything.
You know they're not dead.
Well, a couple are.
Sure. A few will be.
A few are dead. Dead.
But Spider-Man is not gone. They did not find a new Spider-Man just to not have him do any more movies.
Yeah, they didn't do this weird-ass deal with Sony just to do one movie, and that's it.
Right.
One movie and a couple of cameo appearances.
But now we're going to kill him. Yeah, that's not how it works.
We're not going to kill off Black Panther. It just made $1.1 billion, whatever it made, $1.2 billion, you know.
Anyways,
I think this is going to be a better movie because it's going to be a smaller cast. So you're not going to be jumping around juggling 5 different storylines. And I love Ant-Man. Paul Rudd is to be great in anything, but the fact that Ant-Man will probably save the universe is to me, is funny as hell. You know, anyway. All right, that's it for this CU podcast. Ian's reading up on Reagan versus
Reagan's
Mondo.
Showing ranks 5th in the share of electoral votes received and 5th in the share of popular votes won. So does that mean someone got...
What?
Does that mean someone got beat worse? How the fuck?
Reagan's
showing ranks 5th in the share of electoral votes received.
Nixon in 68 destroyed... look up the 68 election.
I'm looking up a table of presidential elections ordered by margin of victory in the Electoral College.
Look up the 68 election. I think that was a landslide with Nixon versus, what's his name?
All right, so here we go.
Versus Humphrey, was that it?
Okay. So
this is what you get on the weekly podcast. By the way, we're just going to go off on a tangent at the end.
All right, so...
Actually, no, that
Rutherford B. Hayes...
It was a 72.
Ranked 58. Okay, so here we go. So it's counting stuff that shouldn't count. Like George Washington got 69 out of 69, and then he got 132 out of 132.
Well, that doesn't count.
Monroe got... Yeah.
It was a 72 election versus McGovern. That was the landslide. That was the biggest one.
Which one?
72. McGovern.
Oh, McGovern got
fucked. That
was fucked.
It, not 68.
Yeah, McGovern got fucked.
He was destroyed. He got Massachusetts. I confused Massachusetts. He got Massachusetts, McGovern. That was it.
Got it.
That was a landslide in terms of electoral college. It was nuts. 520. It was 520 to 17. 60% for Nixon while we were in Vietnam. Nixon was a fucking savvy son of a bitch to get reelected by that margin. And then 37.5% for McGovern.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem was McGovern. I mean, if you read about that election, it's not like... McGovern didn't have a presence. He just didn't fucking sell himself.
Oh. Well, I don't know how he got the Vietnam War. We were knee deep. I don't know how we got 60.7%. I don't know.
That's just an example of a candidate failing. McGovern just failed.
Like 2004 with Kerry, kind of like...
Yeah, it was just...
Didn't show up. It was like, eh.
No, that's exactly what it was.
Even Gore in 2000, like, eh.
Yeah, I mean...
All right. Good old McGovern.
We'll talk more about the Electoral College next podcast.
We could do this live we could do this live on Twitch next time. We'll set that up.
Yes.
All right, for Ian Ferguson, I'm Pat Contry. We both hate gamers. Okay, we'll see you later.
Bye.